Turn in your Bibles there at home, whether it be on your smartphone, your computer, your iPad, your smart TV maybe, I don't know, but turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, the book of Philippians chapter 3. I know this is not the traditional text that is read on Easter morning, but we every single Easter day, Easter Sunday, as it rolls around, this text is always predominantly on my mind because it encompasses the gospel, and not only the gospel, but our lives as the gospel is lived through us. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, while you're getting to that place in God's Word, I do want to remind you about our online giving. You can go to our website or to our Facebook page, find a link to be able to online give. So if you are a tither and you understand the importance of tithing and you do that regularly and consistently, then you can go there. I know many have asked about how they can give to Liberty. Well, you can find that on our website or on our Facebook page. And I just want to say a big thank you to those who have faithfully continued to tithe throughout this time, because we are going to be faithful to keep giving out during this time. As you send it in, give to the Lord, we're going to send it out and help those that are in need and those that will be struggling, not only now, but certainly in the days to come as this thing draws on out, even to you know, possibly the 1st of June or even later. So we encourage you to go there and find that. Now, at this time, also I want to mention to you that as this service has been led so far, you comment if the Lord is helping you and your family and visiting with you in your family. Share this service, because God is using right now the technology and the internet, Facebook. He's using this to reach many, many people. We're able to reach further than we ever have before. Please do that. We encourage you to do that. I will say, I talked to a man in his 80s this week, and he was sharing with me that this is probably the first Easter ever that he has missed in coming in, as far as being in church on Easter Sunday mornings. He was disheartened about it, and it is heart-wrenching to look out into a more or less empty church. I mean, we have a skeleton crew here who are running the various ministries that's needed to make this happen this morning. So these few in number, as opposed to a church that is full, it hurts your heart. It hurts our heart. It breaks our heart. But you know what? That first Easter, there weren't but just a few there as well. Just a few outside of an empty tomb who left there and carried the message that he is not there, but he is risen indeed as he said he would. He is risen indeed. And so there were but a few on that very first Easter in the garden that morning. And this morning there are but a few, but we know that you, as our church family and friends, and those maybe that's tuning in for the very first time, you're joining with us in word and in deed and in thought and prayers there where you are at. You know, Easter, it is a holiday for many people. And on Sunday mornings, on this Easter Sunday mornings, generally our churches are more full than they ever are any other time of year. People come to church on Easter and fill the church pews up on Easter, but you know, a lot of those we never see again until the next Easter, because they never really have experienced the gospel in their own lives. They've never experienced living in resurrection power. And see, resurrection power and living in resurrection, it's not about It's not about the old me just trying to do better, trying to make a better version of myself or a newer version of myself. But resurrection power is about being a new creation in Christ Jesus and letting the Lord of resurrection, Jesus, live His life through you so that I'm not the old me just trying to do better. But I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and He's living His life through me. That's why I'm not what I used to be, by His grace. And thank God I'm not what I'm supposed to be today, yet I'm still trying. But I'm not what I'm going to be one day because of His mercies in my life and His workings in my life. So we praise Him for that. And that very truth there, and I'm going to read in just a second, but let me finish. And that very truth there, that resurrection is not about the old you just trying to do better or the old you trying to make a better version of yourself. That very truth there is why some of you watching is why you are continually and perpetually in this struggle and can never get out of that hole you're in, can never break the chains that's holding you down because you're just the old version of yourself trying to do better. And that don't work. I've tried that before and it does not work. But I want to tell you what works. What works is kneeling down at the foot of a cross where Jesus died for you and dying to yourself and dying to your sins and then coming up in resurrection power because He's alive and letting Him make you a new creature, a new creation, and doing a work of resurrection in your life. I said goodbye to all of my past and all of my yesterdays and who I used to be when Jesus saved me and began to live His life through me. And so I thank God for that. But I want to look at Philippians 3:10. I know I may preach from this text every Easter for the rest of my life. I don't know. But it's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Philippians 3:10 says this. Paul, we find maybe this prayer of Paul's, if you look here and see. And he says this, that I may know Him, he's talking about the risen Savior, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now watch what Paul is wanting right here. Paul is wanting to know resurrection power. Some of you that's watching, thank God you know what resurrection power is because you vividly remember when Jesus raised you up, when you died to your old ways, you died to your sin and self, and you allowed Him to raise you up in newness of life. And so you know very well what I'm talking about, to have resurrection power in your life. Some of you, you're watching and you've known resurrection power. But you've kind of drifted away from the Lord and you're not as close as what you used to be. You used to be devoted and sold out and a disciple of Jesus. And life has carried you away. I think one pastor or commentator said that life is like a river, that if you let it, it will carry you away from the God who saved you and who lives His life through you. So some of you have drifted away, but you remember what it was like living in victory and living in resurrection power. And some of you, you have never really experienced resurrection power. You're still just an old version. You're still the old you trying to do better, trying to make a better you out of life. And we talked about that already. It doesn't work. But Paul says, I want to know Him. What Paul says by that word know, it doesn't just mean know who He is by name or by personality or by character. But he's speaking of, I want to have an experience with Him. I want to know Him by experience. I don't want to just hear other people talking about Him. I don't want to just hear other people testifying about God's goodness in their own lives. I don't want to just hear somebody singing about God's blessings and God's favor and God's deliverance. But I want to experience that myself. So Paul says, I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Because Paul ties the two together. He realizes that we can't know Him by experience unless He lives the resurrection life through us. And so Paul says, I know that there is power in the resurrection. Now, friend, listen to me. I want you to think about this. Jesus, one Friday, he hung, bled, died, and he was buried. But thank God he didn't stay in the ground, because on that third day, by the power of God, he came out of that grave, conquering death, hell, and the grave, putting under his feet the enemies of hell and Satan himself, and he ever lives in victory. Think about the power of God that made that possible. And Paul says this, so Paul must know something. He says, I want to experience that kind of power in my own life. So I want you to understand something. As a child of God, that kind of power is not only for Christ to get him up out of the grave, but it's for you to get you up out of your sin. It's for you to get you up out of your brokenness. It's for you to get you up out of your dark places. It's for you to get you up through your trials. It's for you to get you up from your discouragement and your depression. It's for you that you may understand and know and experience what it's like to walk on mountain peaks of victory, not because of what you've done, not because you tried to be a better version of yourself, but because Jesus lifted you in resurrection power and let you have his victory in your life. Now watch. Paul says, I want to know that power. I want to know that power. If you've ever heard me preach or you've ever been with me in revivals, you've heard me preach this text, this revival text that we're looking at today. Because I remember a time in my life when I would go over on a piece of our property and I would go up to this field, what we call the big field, way up, kind of up on this mountainside, and from there I could see just an incredible, incredible view. In fact, I told Sarah I wanted to take Elise and the praise team up there this morning, and on that hillside where we have this magnificent view, I wanted to have Easter celebration, but it's quite a drive and the weather's not fitting. But up there under a crabapple tree, at a place in my life I would go every Sunday afternoon. We'd go to church on Sunday morning, come back, eat lunch, and I'd grab my Bible and I'd go up there on Sunday afternoons, and under that crabapple tree, this verse had grabbed me in my devotional time. And I began praying, Lord, I want to know, I want to experience resurrection power. I prayed that over and over and over, waiting on God to let me experience resurrection power in my life. And I remember the place I was standing, or actually the classroom I was sitting in Lynchburg, Virginia, one Friday night. Very snowy Friday night, sitting under the teaching of Dr. Harold Wilmington. And as he sat down at a table and taught. And as he sat at a table and as he taught, my mind drifted from class. I'm not a perfect student, I confess. My mind left the materials we were reading, and my ears closed to Dr. Wilmington's teachings. And the Lord took me back to that verse as I opened my Bible, and I looked at it, and I prayed it again, and the Lord spoke to me there, and he says, do you want that verse? And I said, yes, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. And he said, well, if you want to know the power of the resurrection, then are you willing to know the rest of that word, that verse, or those words? And I had so prayed to know him and the power of the resurrection that I didn't even know the rest of the verse. And so I went quickly back over there and I opened it up and I looked, and that's where I noticed in verse 10 where Paul also said that he wanted to know the power of his resurrection, but he said also the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto death. And so Paul says, I'm willing to suffer. I'll take those sufferings. Sufferings so much so that it'll be as if the old Paul or the flesh of Paul dies so that I can know the power of his resurrection. Well, I knew I was a Bible student. I'd been in Bible college for years when I was sitting in this class under Dr. Harold Wilmington. And I knew what that meant if I was willing to submit to the sufferings of the Lord, whatever sufferings God had intended for my life to have. I knew what it would mean if I submitted to the Lord calling me to die to myself. And I just, in my spiritual immaturity or the fear mainly. I just could not pray that. Dr. Wilmington dismissed class, and I went outside into this little corridor that opened up into the outside on that cold, cold, snowy night, and I just plainly told the Lord, no, I'm not willing to submit to that part of that verse and that prayer. I want to know you in the power of your resurrection, but I'm not willing to suffer. And I'm not willing to suffer till the flesh dies. But I want to know the first part. And so for months, to make a long story short, I wrestled with the Lord and wrestled with the Lord over this one verse and this text here. And in one March in Myrtle, Mississippi, in a big meeting down there, the Lord started dealing with me again. And I mean, I'm telling you, there was a battle going on here. And I because I liked being comfortable. I liked being happy. I liked life being uneventful. I liked everything to go just smooth. And who knows what it would mean if I said, Lord, I'm willing to suffer, even to the point to where my flesh dies, just so I can know the power of the resurrection. I knew what it meant, and I wasn't willing to do it. And in a big meeting in Myrtle, Mississippi, down there one March, God started dealing with me one night about that, and we got in this wrestling match. And I'd been walking with the Lord long enough to know that you won't win a wrestling match with the Lord. He'll always win. And in fact, you'll be very much like Jacob. When you come out of that wrestling match, you'll be touched in a way where you'll always have a limp, and you'll always remember that time you wrestled with God and God got the victory. And I sat there on a pew that night, and they was that one day they must have been maybe 8 or 10 preachers had taken the stage and preached sermons from 8 in the morning, and this was now 8 o'clock at night. And so I told the Lord, I made a bargain with the Lord. In fact, I probably tempted the Lord, and I was testing the Lord. I said, okay, Lord, there's 66 books in this Bible, in your word. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll submit to that verse. If you'll let that next preacher who's about to take that stage preach on that one verse out of all of this Bible. Now, God, if you can pull that one off, I'll submit. That preacher took the stage and he stood behind that sacred desk and he looked at us, up to about 1,000 or 1,100 preachers sitting in this tabernacle that night, and that preacher said, take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. And I couldn't wait for the preacher to get finished, because when he said, open your Bibles to Philippians 3:10, I submitted right back there in my pew where I was sitting at that night. And the Lord began to let me see and let me live and let me understand what it meant to go through sufferings for him, because that's the gospel. He suffered and died for us and rose again. And Christ in so many ways painted a picture that is the gospel. And if the gospel is to be lived through us, then we too must understand death or sufferings, death and resurrection. He gave us a picture of baptism. Baptism is not salvation in any way. It's a picture of the gospel, of what Jesus did for us. We die to ourselves and we rise again in victory. The Lord's table, a picture of the gospel, the body of Jesus broken in suffering. The fruit of the vine is his blood that is shed in suffering. He died, and he says, you do it, and as often as you do it, you show the Lord's death till he comes. That means he's alive and he's coming back. So even in the Lord's Supper, we see resurrection. And so I began to experience sufferings in my life, sufferings that were so much so that it drove me to the point of death, where God used it to kill off the flesh in me. Why, preacher, would God do that? So that I could experience resurrection and the power of his resurrection. And boy, have I through my lifetime got to experience that. But listen, I want you to understand something. As we go back to the narrative of in the Gospels of the cross and the resurrection, before we look at that empty tomb, we always have to remember what preceded that resurrection Easter morning. We've got to go back to the cross when Jesus was, where he was beaten and he suffered and he was nailed to that tree and he was lifted on that old Roman cross in crucifixion. We've got to go back and remember in those gospel narratives a couple of things. We've got to remember that his sufferings was of such that he had submitted himself to the will of God, and his sufferings were of such that the Bible says that for 3 hours that Friday afternoon that darkness fell all across the land. We've got to remember that darkness is a part of sufferings. There's a lot of views and comments as to why it got dark for 3 hours. Some skeptics will say that that it was just an eclipse, but scientists will tell you there's never an eclipse that lasts for 3 hours. I believe this was a supernatural event of God because the Son of God, the Lamb of God, was suffering for the sins of the world, and he who knew no sin becomes sin for us on that cross, and the holiness of God could not look upon that sin, and so God the Father had to turn away and turn his back and forsake his only begotten Son, because he who knew no sin had become our sin as he paid our sin debt on Calvary's hill. My God, why have you forsaken me? That was the cry of our Lord, prophetically spoken over in Psalm 22. And so there was darkness over all the land. Listen to me, I want some of you to understand something right now. All of us have a cross to bear. And I think if in any way that you want to know the resurrection power of our Lord, or you know it, you've experienced it, and there's been days in your yesterdays that have been days of darkness, where there've been plenty of dark days in your life. And in fact, you look back and your life has just been a series of dark days, discouraging times, depressions and anxieties, valleys, times of brokenness, if you will, times of heartache, troubles that time won't let you tell. But somebody is there right now. And in your darkness and in your struggles and in your adversities and in your trials and in these times that are so low you feel like you're dying, I want you to understand this. You are. The Lord is trying to get you to die to yourself so he can He brings darkness into our days and troubles into our days so that he can kill off the flesh in us. Because you and I, as much as we hate to admit it, though we may be saved by grace, we're still very much full of the flesh. The new man lives in the old body. I've still got some old tendencies within me. Some days I let the flesh win, and other days the Spirit wins and I get to experience resurrection power. Some of you are in those dark times right now. I want to remind you as well, not only was there darkness in all the land, and I'm just touching this and just hitting it and run, but the Bible also says that there was a great earthquake. There was a great earthquake during that time. So much so that many of the graves opened up in Jerusalem, and those that were in the graves come up. They were a type of the first fruits of the resurrection, a symbol of the resurrection to come of the saints. But there was an earthquake. Man, listen to me. I want you to listen to something. There on that hilltop, he was one of those Roman soldiers who was part of that crucifixion. And before it was all over, he acknowledged that Jesus was the Son of God. God used an earthquake in his life. God used an earthquake to bring a Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 to his knees and beg before Paul the preacher, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul, thank God, said, it's simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and all of thy house. Hey, there's some of you watching right now. I don't believe in household salvation as a as a doctrine that is taught by some, which means if one person is saved, then everybody's covered or everybody's saved. But I do believe in household salvation as the Philippian jailer experienced. He got saved, and as a result of his salvation, the rest of his family heard the word, and they too give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some of you right now that God's using an earthquake to try to wake you up. And if you'd fall on your knees this morning and give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him to be saved, then God will bring the rest of your family in. But it begins with you. And so God uses troubles. He uses a cross in our lives to humble us and to bring us to our knees. Why? Because God's trying to kill us. Yeah, I said that. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to kill off the flesh in us. He's wanting us to die to ourselves. See, you can never take hold of Jesus as Lord and Savior as long as you're going to hang on to you. I had a lot of reservations about being saved. It's some of why I run from the Lord. I thought about, Lord, what's people going to think about me? I thought about, Lord, what about my lifestyle? I can't continue my current lifestyle. I knew enough of Bible to know that when it said I needed to repent and put my faith in Jesus, that repent meant I had to turn away from my sins. And I struggled with it. I said, Lord, what about my lifestyle? I don't want to give some of this stuff up. I'm having fun. I like the way I'm living. Yeah, I'm under conviction, and yeah, I'm fearful of judgment day, but there's still stuff I want to hang on to. And listen, God begins to, He brings a cross into our life. He brings sufferings into our life because He wants us to die to ourselves and kill off the flesh. Why? Because notice what Paul has said. Paul says, I want to experience the resurrection power of God. And yes, I'm willing if needs be, Lord, and if it's in your plan to know the fellowship of your sufferings like you suffered, to even experience your death, that I may one day experience resurrection life and resurrection power. So Paul prayed that, and Paul said that, and Paul certainly lived that. He lived no life. His life was not a bed of roses, so to speak. He did not live in an ivory palace or an ivory tower. But friends, listen to me. What the gospel is this, is that Jesus is going to bring you to a cross where you die to yourself and where He'll use a cross in your life. Some of you, your cross may be discouragement. It may be depression. It may be anxieties. Some of you watching, your cross may be an addiction you struggle with. It may be alcoholism. It may be a relationship that's in your life. It may be fear that overtakes you and overcomes you and paralyzes you and you can't do anything else. There's many different ways that we can have crosses, but you need to know that the point of a cross is to bring you to the cross where Jesus died so that you can die to self. Why? Because the story of Jesus, now listen, and I'm about to close, because the message of Jesus did not end at a cross. But hallelujah, 3 days later, as He said, 3 days later, He got up. God the Father helped Him out of the grave. God the Son said, I've got power to bring my life up again. And the Bible says God the Spirit lifted Him out of the grave. The resurrection of Jesus was a work of the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit of God in heaven. And He's alive today and alive forevermore. Now, let me settle down just a minute. I start thinking about the resurrection and I get pretty excited. The very fact that Jesus did not stay in the grave. His story did not end at the grave. Now watch me. Listen to me. If we follow these other religions, if we follow Mormonism, we can go visit Joseph Smith's grave. That's the founder of their faith. If we join ourselves to Islam and some Muslims, then we can go visit the grave of Muhammad where he's buried. Jim Jones in the People's Republic, whatever the name was. We can go visit the grave of Jim Jones. All of these leaders, we can go visit the grave of Buddha. We can go visit the grave of every pope that's ever lived. And I want to tell you today, you will not and cannot go visit the grave of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. You may make a trip to the Holy Land, and they'll take you to a place where it is suspected he was buried. But you're going to find that that tomb is empty today, that he is no longer there, but he is risen as he said he would. Listen, the story of Jesus did not end at the grave. And neither will your story. You may think that you've got a cross in your life, and you may think you're about to die, and you may think God's trying to kill you, but he's not trying to kill you. Your story will not end at the grave. I'm asking you this morning to do this. I'm asking you to submit yourself to a risen Savior today and let him do that work in your life of allowing you to have a cross so it can bring you to the death of yourself and of your sins and of the flesh so that one day you may experience resurrection power in your own life and you may look back one day and give God thanks that your story didn't end in a grave, but God one day lifted you up and gave you life and abundant life in this life we live now. Well, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want you to understand this morning, that if God can bring Jesus out of the grave, then God can free you from addiction. God can free you from the power of a bottle. Then God can free you from a toxic relationship. Then God can loose you from all of your sins. Some of you right now, listen to me, some of you are watching right now, and your life is a trail of brokenness. And you want better for yourself. You do, you want it. You see other people's lives that you envy and that you want. Well, you want it. You want better for yourself. But every time you get up, it's like you fall back down. You just keep trying and trying, and the more you try, the deeper you go in this hole. And when you look back on all of your yesterdays are filled with ups and downs and downs and downs, and all of your yesterdays are filled with broken pieces of a broken life. Your yesterdays are indeed a broken road, and when you look ahead, that broken road's still ahead of you. But I want to tell you what you need to do this morning. This morning you need to take that brokenness that God has allowed into your life, and maybe right there alone where nobody can see and nobody's watching because you're watching all alone. You will get up on your knees and you will just weep out a lifetime of sorrows. You will weep out a lifetime of sin. You will weep out before the Lord a lifetime of brokenness, and you will let a risen Savior, as you bring yourself to the death of you, to the death of your past, to the death of your yesterdays, to the death of your sins, you'll let a risen Savior lift you in the resurrection power, and you start living a life that only God could prepare for you. You need to do that right now. If God can bring Jesus out of the grave, then he can lift you out of despair. He can lift you out of discouragement. He can lift you out of sin and shame. He can lift you out of guilt. And see, that's part of, some of you are watching, and that's some of what your problem and your trouble is some of you, you've got stuck in a tomb. You're stuck in a tomb of regret, a tomb of shame, a tomb of embarrassment, a tomb of insecurity. You're stuck there. But I want you to know Jesus didn't stay in that tomb. But 3 days later, he got up and he got up in victory. And God's able to lift you up and get you up if he got Jesus up on Easter some 2,000 years ago. So right now, there's some of you watching, and man, you're living this morning in resurrection power. I want everybody to listen that's viewing right now. Some of you, you'll come to church once a year, once every couple years, whatever the case may be. And you look around and you look at a bunch of people gathered in the church building and you think to yourself, boy, these people, They've got it all together. I wish my life was like them. And what you don't realize is this. They don't have it all together. In fact, nearly every one of them, they've got crosses in their past, sufferings in their past. And many of us, we still carry crosses in our present. Sufferings, struggles, trials, temptations, tribulations, very much in our presence. In fact, some people look at you, and as you come to church and you try to follow the Lord, some people look at you and they think you just got it all together. They think that you have it all together so much that you've never had a struggle or trial in your life. But they don't know your story. They don't know your yesterdays. They don't know the cross that you carried. They don't know the sufferings you endured. They don't know the death you died. They don't know how dark and how deep the tomb was that you were buried in before Christ raised you up in victory and raised you up in new life and raised you up in resurrection power. And so some of you are watching right now, and here's what you need to do as we try our best to close right now in the next minute or minute and a half. Girls, you can come if you've got to sing and worship and lead us in praises. Some of you right now, you need to take this occasion for Easter, and you need to look back on your yesterdays. There are times when the gift of memory is a bad thing. We remember our failures. We remember our shortcomings. But there are times when the gift of memory is a blessing, because we can look back in our life and we can see all the times we've had to bear a cross, all the times that God brought sufferings into our life. I mean, suffering so much so we thought the burden of the trial was going to kill us. The suffering so much so where we knew that we'd never see the light of day on the other side of those sufferings. Some of us this morning, we can look back on our life and see those times in our life. We can look back on our life and we can see those times when indeed God brought us to the death of ourself. Man, and I'm telling you, I say hallelujah today for the times that God brought a cross into my life, and He did it so that I would die to myself, and He started killing off flesh, and I got to know Him in resurrection power. And I say thank you, Lord, for that. And so some of you right now, you need to be on your knees. These girls are going to sing. I don't know what they're singing. Maybe you just need to stand in your living room. Maybe you need to run out there in your front yard. Some of you have put crosses up with lights on them. And I think maybe it's supposed to represent faith over fear. Well, you ought to just carry your smartphone, iPad right out there into your yard. And as they sing, you ought to just lift both your hands to God in heaven. Hey, let's be frank. It's easy to go out there and stick a cross in the yard and walk away from it, let people drive by and look at it. Let somebody drive by and look at you standing in your yard with both your hands raised to heaven in glory, giving God honor and credit and worshiping Him. Get up and go do that this morning. Walk out on your front porch and wave your hands in the air and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the times I carried a cross. I thought it was going to kill me. I knew it was. But God, just like the story of Jesus, did not end at the grave. My story didn't either, and you lifted me up in resurrection power. So, Father, I praise you and give you all glory, honor, forever and ever, in Jesus' name. Girls, you sing.